What's your language?
Always.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Town Council meeting of November 20th, 2018. We will first have the invocation and pledge of allegiance from Reverend Thomas Williams.
Like I'm in a corner back here. Hi. Mr. Gray. Lord, we give you thanks for allowing us to be able to be here tonight to listen to the issues that are going to be brought before the Town Council. I pray for the council members here tonight and ask that you give them all of the tools and everything that they need so that they can continue to keep Curia Beach the great town that it is. I ask that you give them wisdom, the ability to look at all the issues presented before them, and most of all, the ability to listen to those who will be giving their opinions tonight. Lord, we live in a country that we should be honored about, because some countries we can't do what we do here tonight. So Lord, just give you thanks for that. Lord, just lead us and guide us tonight and let us do the things that you want us to do. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says in the New International Version, it says, give thanks in all things, for God's will for you is in Christ. Be thankful for what you have and the things that I give you. So Lord, just lead us and guide us and let us do the things that you want us to do. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's do the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Reverend.
See you next month.
See you next time.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Okay. First item will be the approval of the consent agenda items. Do I have any recommended changes to the consent agenda? Any additions to the consent agenda?
Make a motion we approve the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
We have motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Consent agenda passes. Now the adoption of the agenda. Do we have any changes to the agenda? Any additions or deletions? If I have no additions or deletions, may I have a motion to accept?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Agenda stays. Okay. Discussion and considerations of persons to address council. First, let's go with Mr. Bill Moore. If you would state your name, your address, and maybe some of your positions in the town.
My name is Bill Moore. I live at 2003 Surfrider Court in Ocean Dunes. I'm a member of P&Z. I'm a member of SLAP committee, involved in quite a bit here and there. I'm here to follow up on what the Reverend Williams said to you guys about dipping into your wisdom and caring and judgment and your ability to help. Ocean Dunes has an issue. Okay? We've had an issue from the storm. Those of you who have been down there, you saw the three large holes that we ended up in under our buildings. One of them in particular, about a 1,300 building, is causing a lot of trouble. We found out after the fact that long before Ocean Dunes went in, someone had put a 24-inch storm drain pipe under there, which concrete ends up being rubber and gets out to the ocean. And that was destroyed at part of the storm, in addition to part of the sewer system that was up there. Now, spent a lot of time with John's help and other people's help trying to find out who owns that pipe. And so far, I can tell you nobody. The town says, well, we didn't take you over to the 90s. You were built in the 80s, and that must have been in the 70s, so it's not us. The county says it's not us. The DOT says it's not us. So I've got a pipe there that we believe helps drain the water, storm water from Camp Wyatt area. And I have a couple of choices. I can cap it, since nobody owns it. Or I can spend about $80,000-$90,000 rerouting this thing to bring it out so it's not under our building near your 1300 walkway, which is the town's walkway in our area. And to do that, we would have to finish taking down what's left of that walkway so we can get some heavy equipment in to dig the trench. So obviously, I need some guidance from you guys. I'd like some money, which would be nice. And I also like it understood that when we tear down that walkway, we're not rebuilding it. Mm-hmm. Okay, you know, it's partially down already, so we're not going to do that. So anyway, I come to you for help because that's it. We've already found out our insurance will not cover a lot of this. And so we have probably an $80,000-$90,000 bill there. That alone, I had a meeting with John, and we talked about FEMA, and we understand that because we're basically not a primary home operation, we really don't qualify for FEMA help. So the only other place is to fall down in the good graces of the town and that wisdom in the holiday season. So anyway, questions and answers.
What kind of schedule are you on, Bill?
We went in for the permit today. Your engineer, by the way, has talked to my engineer, so that's already happened.
Right.
Probably we're looking at the first full week at the earliest in December that we would start doing something, because right now we're finishing up the 11th area, which we anticipate will take most of next week. So then when the permit is issued, we'll go forward. So we're talking week of the 5th, December 5th, in that frame to get started.
Okay.
So any help you can give us or guidance? Because my big question is, if I cap that thing, which nobody seems to care, what happens to everybody else? What happens to Ocean Dunes come up in liability if we start flooding someplace else?
Yeah, I don't know that nobody cares. I'll disagree with that. That's the first I've heard.
Let's rephrase it. Nobody owns it.
Yeah. What?
That'd be a good neighbor.
Well, it's not only that. So you flood 421, and I don't... So what did the engineers say? Because they talked, but I haven't seen any reports. What did they say?
I don't know. I had a telephone conversation, and my engineer sent his plan to your engineer in Raleigh.
And what is your plan that they reviewed?
Right now, we're looking to reroute that pipe so it's not under the building. Okay. Bring it across the area, and we have Heath Construction doing that because they do that highway type stuff under the licensing issues. And bring it out next to that walkway by the 1300 walkway that you guys own. Like I said, we would have to tear down what's left of it so we can get heavy equipment in there to dig that trench. Right. And this is a cost to us probably around $80,000. I haven't broke it down from the one bill I've gotten, but I would assume that's about where it is. So any help or discussion or suggestions, I'd be greatly appreciated.
I do know in my initial letter, I did mention that the town was responsible for the walkway.
Right.
That was definitely concurred. The other item, I think, was an item whereby you believe that, and you were acting accordingly, that was probably the expense of that area, of your HOA. But if there's information, Bill, that we need to look at, we certainly can take a look at that and sit down and get together. It's not something we'll solve right here.
No, I understand that, but I know John has the permit application, and I'm sure that if he hasn't even received the drawings from our engineer, he should have them there soon. So, but I would like some answers before we get started.
Okay. John, you have everything you need?
I do have the application, yes, sir. I don't believe I've got the revised drawings yet.
I'll check with Turk tomorrow on that and get it down to you, and that's probable. We both know Turk is not the fastest person.
Yeah, where the house is, where the condo is, and the pipe goes toward the ocean.
Currently it goes underneath the condo.
Right. How far back this way do you start the diversion?
At this point, they tore out the entire cement that was there, so it's almost out to where the sewer system is, and it's going to divert there on an angle and go straight across, right to the 1300 walkway, and go from there again with the concrete, and then we're going to go from there with the rubber out before we have to. So that's the game plan. Mm-hmm.
So,
but nobody can tell. Sorry.
No, that's right. You first. Go ahead.
Nobody has a plan of where that pipe goes from.
We don't know from where it comes. We can tell you where it's going.
Right. Not going, but where it's coming.
I can't tell you that, and no one seems to know that for certain. Our best guess is it helps to alleviate 421 and the Camp Wyatt development over there for some of the excess water, but I don't know that 100%.
So we'll need to see Brian Cox's input as well. So
I think, Bill, the right thing to do is you're putting in for a permit, but you need to ask item by item what your homeowner association is asking the town for, and then we have to first have the attorney tell us what we can and can't do. Because it's on private property, The council can't just spend money willy-nilly, but there's some things we can and can't do. So I think you should break it down to, will the town, you know, allow us to tear up, to finish tearing up this walkway at no liability to us, which I think the town will, and we can do that. And then we'll replace it because it's our walkway, I think. But then it starts getting into the water system on private property, that each thing needs to be listed out with a cost and what you're asking for, and then it has to go to the attorney, and the attorney's got to say, you can do this and you can't do that. And then once council knows what we can legally do, then we can decide what we can do.
I'll have it to Nancy on Monday.
Yeah, because I think the issue is, before we vote to say, even discuss saying what we can do, we have to understand a couple things. One, how much it is. Two, are we legally allowed to spend public money doing it? And then three, does it add future liability without spending it?
The first, it's usually solved if someone admits they own the pipe. Because Ocean Dunes sure doesn't.
Yeah, well, I understand, but it's on your property and the town can't admit they own it. Or we're not going to. Because we didn't install it. The company that built you guys built that under there or built over it.
That's true.
Okay, well, you don't just build something that big without knowing what's underneath it. So they didn't just build it over it with it sitting there. Somebody knew it. Now, whether the county inspector should have called it or not is past history, right? So I think the issue is if you're asking us to say we own the pipe, I'm pretty sure we're not going to say that. The attorney will tell me I can't say that. If you're saying help us, then all I'm saying is line item by line item what you're asking the town for, and then I think the council's willing to do whatever we can legally do that we can afford, and then we'll work it out. But I think you got to break it up that detail. It can't be a, yeah, we're going to help you. It's got to be, we want to tear up your walkway. Okay, fine. We're not paying for rebuilding it, and we don't want any liability for that. That's what you guys should ask for. Okay, maybe we can approve that. Well, I'll let the attorney tell me later, not now. And then the second thing, we want financial help to reroute this stormwater that comes from 421. Okay? One, I don't know if we can legally do that. And then if we can, what's the future liability? And once the council understands those two issues, then we can make good decisions. But you got to do that for everything you're asking for.
I understand that. But one right? question I am asking, can we cap it?
Well, one, your permit doesn't say that, so you'd have to change your permit.
That's easy.
Well, and then our engineer's going to tell us we shouldn't let you, so you're not going to get a permit, probably. I would think not, because then 421 will flood. I mean, that corner already sort of floods. If you move the water up, that's what will happen. The road will flood. It did rain. Right?
We're looking to work with you.
Yeah, no, we want to work with you. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
I'm not trying to be problematic. I'm saying help us out. There's got to be a process.
There's a couple of questions. So, do any of your parking lots drain into that stormwater system?
Not that I'm aware of.
That's what we got to find out. Everything that drains into it.
Right.
Because it could be your parking lot.
Just general knowledge. Don't some of our outfalls go across private property?
They all go through easements.
They all have to go through private property.
They go through easements.
They go through easements.
There was no easement listed for this?
No, we didn't even know it was there as far as I know. Someone down there knew because one of them had been passed by contract during the storm.
Someone down there knew because she kept putting the rubber by when it washed down the road. Yeah. It had a big rubber pipe out the other end of it. So
it's always been repaired. Every time it got destroyed, it was repaired by someone put the pipe
on the beach by the town once it gets to the beach.
The outfalls, we have maintained the outfalls.
Okay. And
so
who's responsible for stormwater management on 421?
It's between us and the state, but we probably manage it. I don't know that I know the answer to that.
That's why we do have the engineers looking
We clean up all the drains and stuff, but I don't know. Do we get any money back from the state for doing anything for them, Jimmy?
I don't think so.
Or Arlen? I don't know where Arlen's.
We don't get anything.
Right.
You're looking at structures that were built prior to the building of that facility.
I'm not saying we shouldn't. I'm saying that we got to do it the right way. And I can't spend public money without the attorney saying it's okay and then council voting on it.
Yeah.
No.
So,
right?
We'll do what you ask.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Bill. Okay. All right.
Is there an award?
Let's go to Bernard Robinson and Company. Victor Blackburn, presentation of the full year 17 and 18 financial audit for the town of Curie Beach. Welcome.
All right, we're going to start off with a new accounting policy that was adopted by the town this year. Last year, you remember that the town adopted GASB 73, and that related to some of your pension liabilities that the town had. GASB 75 relates to the post-employment benefits of other than pensions. So the accounting standards hit you 2 years in a row. And what this did was that for the OPEB liabilities for the current and future retirees of the town, between the time they retire until the time they reach a certain age to where they can go on the government program, the town will pay for their health care, their vision, and their medical, or vision and dental insurance until they can get to the federal programs. And therefore, what you got to do is you're looking at those future costs and your present value, and then you have to stick that liability on your books, and it will increase or decrease depending on the increase in the coverage, the insurance liabilities, or the number of people who are eligible for it. So that's what GASB 75 relates to, and all municipalities who have this OPEB had to adopt this standard. And it's been be honest with you, a lot of entities had a sticker shock for the liability. And I was telling Arlen earlier, based off the audits that we do for other municipalities, I was really surprised at how low your towns came in compared to some of the other ones that we do audits for. So what this did was, it's a restatement, and if you can see, your liability came in a little over $1 million, and that's broken down between the business type activities, your water sewer fund, and then your rest of your governmental activities. And since a lot of your payroll is into governmental activities, they get a larger portion of that. So it reduced your net position almost $1 million for your governmental funds and a little over $200,000 for business type activities. So it restated the beginning net position for each of those funds. And as you can see with the restatements, you can see the breakdown between the governmental and the business type activities you know, it was almost $8 million in 16 for the governmental activities, almost $8.7 million in 17, and it came down a little bit to about $8.3 million, and then 6.8 in your business type activities compared to 6.9, and down a little bit to 6.7. So that kind of, this graph shows you that you haven't had much fluctuation, significant fluctuations. But it's still, if you look at your net position, that's a good, healthy amount that you've been able to accumulate over the years and maintain for the past 3 years. This is your governmental activities. This is a breakdown of the net position for governmental activities. The green represents your unrestricted. That means that this is the money that you can really use to pay for future projects or current projects. The restricted portion is in red, and it's about $650,000. The restricted portion is those unspent federal dollars for your forfeitures that you've had, as well as your power bill that you received from the state for your roads and stuff that is basically unspent. Since those are designated for certain type of expenditures, that's why they're classified as restricted. And then you can see the blue is your, this is basically your cap, what represent your net position, that's your capital assets less any related debt. So this, that is the only way you can really get money from that is if you sold off the asset. So that's kind of why we have to break it out to kind of get back to that unrestricted portion. But you can see that it's been fairly similar for 16 and 17. In 18, the restricted portion increased, and that's capital projects.
Right. It was the loan, because we actually have the loan for the town hall and fire station is in a separate bank account that the bank controls. We have to kind of draw it down as we need it. So all those funds are considered restricted to a specific use.
And that's kind of why your invested in capital assets went down too, is because the loan is netted against it. So you're getting a kind of double whammy there for 18. But I would assume as you complete the project and then you use all the money sitting in the bank account to pay for the construction, those numbers will start even back out for 19 and 20.
Okay. One question, if I may. So the restricted amount, the principal impact there is really the loan on the new facility. It's not the impact of General Assembly Senate bill.
No, it's just the fact that we have this
right
unused loan fund still.
Right.
We'll be using as the project progresses. But
okay.
It's sitting
understood
in cash right now.
Yeah.
So the reason they're saying that they want to classify as restricted because you can't spend it on other
government other things.
Activity.
That's fine.
So
yep.
So you already have the cash right now. This is your business type activity breakdown. Again, similar to the governmental activities, the big portion is your capital asset net of related debt. And then anything above that is considered unrestricted. But you can kind of see that it's fairly consistent 16 to 17. And again, for 18, it's your unrestricted dips down a little bit, and capital assets increase a little bit due to some of your construction, your expenditures, capital outlay this past year. Now this is the governmental fund. This is your fund balance, and this is probably what you're more worried about, because here is where you determine how much you can spend or utilize for your upcoming budget. As you can see, we talked about the restricted numbers, the last four. You can see there's your federal asset forfeiture amount, your state statute. The state statute amount is basically what they want you to do is all your receivables that you have on your books at the end of the year, they kind of want you to set it aside because it's not available to be appropriated until it's collected. And then there's your power bill, your streets funds. And then you can see in the $3 million that is hitting in 2018 for the debt. The assigned is basically money set aside by the town and this board. You got storm water, which is money that you set aside to help improve the storm water. But you also have the beach protection money set aside, and this is to help if you don't get the money from the federal or state governments to help replenish the sand, this is where you would dip into your fund balance. But your unassigned is an amount that you can appropriate for next year's budget or if an unusual expenditure came up. And as you can see, over the last 3 years, you maintain a healthy about $2.7 million. This is the budget versus actual for the governmental activities. You can see that you budgeted about $5 million in revenues. You came in a positive variance of about $5.2 million, so you collected about $300,000 more than what you were expecting to collect. Your expenditures were $5.7. You had a budget loss of about $865,000, but your actual expenditures came in less, and between the reduction in what you planned to spend and the excess that you collected, you had a positive variance of almost $1 million. deer a year. And then you can see, you to balance out that loss that in the budget, you had appropriated fund balance of about $841,000. That kind of offsets the positive variance, but you still have a positive variance that's the change in fund balance of a little over $42,000. And this is your breakdown of your water and sewer fund. Operating revenues, you almost a little over $1.9 million. Your expense is about $1.9 million. So your operating income, a little over $50,000. Your operating expense of $28,000, most of that is your interest on the debt. They come down to a positive change of almost $30,000. But then we talked about it earlier, since your enterprise funds are based on what we call full accrual, you see the adjustment here, where on the governmental funds, that's called modified accrual, cash accrual. You don't get hit for those type of things until we do the GASB 34 conversion, which is the overall governmental statements that you see up front. Is that it? Okay. Any questions?
Yeah, Mr. Blackburn, if I may, I was looking at the financial highlights, and Arlen does a great job making sure we do things the way we need to do them. The way I look at this is council doing a good job in the things that we direct to get done. And one of the things that caught my eye was that the combined unassigned and assigned fund balance for the general fund was about $3.4 million, or 66% of the total general fund expenditures for the year. Is that a good position, a great position, or a poor position?
I would probably say that is a great. I mean, you're basically, what you're looking at is if you had a disruption in your revenues.
Right.
And you still have owed expenses, sure, payroll and stuff like that, that I think 66% is about 7 months for, so you could operate 7 months without generating $1 for property taxes, fees, license, or anything. The state only requires you really to have about 2 months. Okay. So you can see that, you know, if you were down close to 2 months or less than 2 months, you're probably getting a little nasty letter from the state saying, hey, what do y'all want to do to increase it? So I think at 66%, you're within the range of similar size governmental entities, and anything above half a year, I think it's great.
Okay, well, thank you. That is the way that I judged it, but I did want the citizens to hear it from you. So thank you. Thank you, Arlen. Anybody else have any questions for Mr. Blackburn?
So in the end, the audit is to tell council how both the control function is doing and how we're doing. So maybe in the past, I thought there was normally an overview letter that said, we assess you're doing good or not. I didn't really see this when I looked through that. Did I miss it in some of the 42 pages? Is buried down in there?
There was a separate letter.
Right.
Okay.
It's
in the consent agenda?
No, it's right before the audit.
Okay, maybe I missed it. I apologize, that's why.
It's basically three pages, and it summarizes the audit, and I think what you're asking is that you received an unmodified opinion, which is the cleanest opinion.
That's what I was looking for.
And that if we had any issues with the internal controls that were designed or the way they were operating, we are required by professional standards to put that in writing. So the lack of that letter lets you know that we didn't come across anything in the way it was designed or being operated that brought concern to us that we need to bring to your attention. The other letter that you have is a summary of the audit.
Right.
And it is required communications to those in charge of governance, which is this board. And it talks about any audit adjustments.
Right.
We did not have any of those.
Yep.
Were there any differences between the amounts reported in the financial statements and the audits, the supporting audit documentations that were not booked. And those are called past adjustments or uncorrected adjustments. We did not have any of those either. I think the big thing right here that's different from previous years is that you did adopt GASB 75, so that's a change in accounting policies.
Right.
But other than that, there were no changes in the policies that you used to generate the numbers for the financial statements compared to last year. We also talk about, were there any disagreements with management? We didn't have any of those. Were there any difficulties in performing the audit? Well, nothing in your control.
Right. They were audited during the hurricane. Yeah. We were here, we saw it.
Yeah.
So where does it say unqualified here? Because I did read this one, Nancy. So show me, maybe I missed the line item. I think typically what I'm looking for is it to say an unqualified or something. I don't remember the exact verbiage from historical. I'd have to look it up. But
in the audit opinion letter itself,
okay.
In the opinion, we don't really use the terminology unqualified or
okay.
or modified or anything like that. It's just if it was modified, you would see something in the opinion.
Okay, that's fine. Okay. So I guess maybe I was looking for it to be more blunt, but okay. That's all I was asking, so I'm fine.
Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Blackburn?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
Good job, Arlen, and staff.
Nice job.
Especially when the audit was happening during a sticker sale.
Yeah. And a water sale.
This was actually part of it.
Yeah, I think the other part, David, that you're looking for is this. It was actually the first couple of pages in the
Yeah, well, yeah. I guess
right.
The opinion right there, I guess, is where it has to be, right?
Yeah, go up just a little bit. It's focused. This, okay. This is what you were
present fairly in all material aspects. Yeah. Okay. That's what I was looking for. I couldn't find it in there. Okay, I'm sorry for slowing us down.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Arlen, and finance team.
Yeah. And thank you for staying late, sir. Safe travel.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Andrew Keck, please. Ladies and gentlemen, Andrew's actually going to address the council, but I think it warrants stating that we have somewhat of a local hero and a celebrity in our town. Andrew is a gold medal winner in the Special Olympics in golf for his age group. Congratulations, and thank you for representing the town so well.
Hi, my name is Andrew Keck. I live in Kiwi Beach, and I'm also a senior at Azure High School. I'm also a Special Olympics athlete and global messenger. I'm going to tell you why Special Olympics is important to me.
It's okay, Andrew. Take your time. Do whatever you want to do.
Hi, my name is Andrew Keck. I live in Cape Beach. I'm also a Special Olympics. I live in Cape Beach, and I am a senior at Azure High School. I'm also a Special Olympics athlete and global messenger. I would like to thank you for having the polar plunge right here in Cape Beach. Cape Beach is the perfect spot. I'm going to tell you why Special Olympics is important to me. I moved to North Carolina in 2012, and that's when I first found out about Special Olympics. I competed in swimming and golf, and I played flag football. I look forward to training with my teams. It is a lot of fun. I train and compete every chance I can, so I have met a lot of new friends. Because of Special Olympics, I'm stronger and more confident. My biggest hurdle was being chosen to represent Team North Carolina in annual individual golf. I played 3 rounds at the USA Games in Seattle, Washington. I had a blast. I had to really work hard and focus and persevere because I was playing against other athletes from the USA. I had the best coach and caddy, and we played a very challenging course. All of that paid off. I got a gold medal in my division. I'm happy the town of Kiwi Beach is willing to have the polo plunge for Special Olympics. This is why athletes never have to pay to participate, so everyone can be on a team. Also, you are never too old. Athletes can be kids or adults. Special Olympics has many sports all year long. Athletes and coaches make new friends, learning about being healthy, get better at their sports, and of course, have fun. I want to thank you again for listening to me here tonight. You can build more with Special Olympics if you want to. You can make your own polo plunge team. You can volunteer. You can be a coach. Look at the Special Olympics North Carolina website to find out more. I hope you know you are part of something amazing. Thank you.
Congratulations. Nice job.
Mr. Mayor, if I can, Andrew, he's also a pretty good quarterback. I got to see him in action last night playing football, so he did a great job last night. He has a gold medal, but it's on the national level.
Yes, yes.
Proud of him.
Excellent. Okay, next we have Arlene Diaz, Public Affairs Specialist with the Small Business Administration, Office of Disaster Assistance. Okay,
thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you, ma'am.
Good evening. As mentioned, my name is Arlene Diaz. I'm part of the U.S. Small Business Administration, part of the Office of Disaster Assistance. Our program works directly when we have declared disaster areas, and we provide assistance in the form of low interest loans. We have the name of small business, but our office, more than 60% of the loans that we approve are for homeowners and renters. So we are providing assistance for homeowners and renters, and businesses of all sizes. That will be also for private and non-profit organizations. When I mentioned low interest, we're talking about 3.675%, as low as that for businesses, and as low as 2.5% for non-profit organizations, and for homeowners is as low as 2% for homeowners and renters. For homeowners, they can apply up to $200,000 to repair or replace their home, and also they can apply up to $40,000 for personal property, and that is also for homeowners. And for businesses, we have two types of loans. We have the physical damage loans, and we have also the economic injury. Combining both type of loans, they can obtain up to $2 million. It's important that to know, for example, we have a lot of businesses that sometimes will think that if they don't have a physical damage, they weren't affected. So the physical damage will consider the real estate, the building, equipment, machineries, but the economic injury is specifically for the working capital. If the business was closed and need money to be back in their feet, that is the economic injury. Our program was extended. It was supposed to be over last week, and now that is for the physical damage. They extended the deadline for December 13. However, for businesses, they can still apply for economic injury until June 14. Here in New Hanover County, we have two centers. We have the Disaster Recovery Center that is administered by FEMA, and SBA is there, is in the Independence Mall in Oleander Drive. And we have also a business recovery center that is in the Wilmington Chamber of Commerce. So we really want to encourage people to do the application first, to go through FEMA and register first with them. And it's also important that sometimes if survivors are referred by FEMA to SBA, it's important to them to complete the process with SBA. Because it could be someone that don't have the incomes, but if they receive the referral, they need to complete the process and they're going to be referred back to SBA, to FEMA, from SBA to FEMA. But if they don't do the application, they're stopping their process. So it's important to do the application. You are not in in an obligation of taking no loans, but it's important that people know that we have a deadline. And if they don't do the application before that deadline, they can be, maybe they're missing funds if they don't do the process. So the survivors can do the application through our website, sba.gov, but we always encourage them to go directly to a center because it's easier. They will have someone that could go with them through all the process. Do you have any questions? I'm going to leave the fact sheet to all of you. And we have a phone number that is in the back. If you have any questions, you can call the 1-800-659-2955. They will let you know in what place you could. You can go to any center. You don't have to go to New Hanover if you are from this county. You can go to the place that you prefer to visit. And they can also send you by mail the application. You could do it by mail or you can do it by the website. So if you have any questions, you can ask me. I'll be here. I'll stay a little bit more in case if someone wants to clarify any questions or any doubt.
Religious institutions qualify as nonprofit organizations?
It's nonprofit organizations.
Okay.
For example, in this case, if it's the town hall or the government, you're going to be working through FEMA.
Right.
It's not through SBA. Right. SBA specifically for homeowners, renters, and businesses of all sizes, including nonprofit organizations.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we have good help with Arlen, but we do have some constituents with the churches that are struggling and looking for some assistance.
Yes,
so thank you.
Yes, they are considered for the physical damage.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Discussion and consideration of committee business. Community Center Committee. Do we have a representative this evening? I do not believe we do. Marketing Committee. Any Marketing Committee representatives this evening? Planning and Zoning Commission. Chairman Galbraith.
And Craig Galbraith, chairperson of the Planning and Zoning Commission, South Cherry Beach. We've got two items here. The first one is actually a very simple one, but both of these will require public hearings. So rather than bringing you something trivial, kind of piecemeal, as we kind of combine them in case you want to do a public hearing on both of these. The first one has to do with a approval process that you've already gone through, which is the sign for the HOAs. When we put together that recommendation, we realized that we did not have a definition for monument signs. And so the first item right here is simply a amendment of the Code of Ordinances related to a simple putting a definition for a monument sign. So since we're referring to monument sign regarding the HOA that you already talked about and approved last time, we need to have a definition for monument signs.
And that has to have a public hearing?
I believe so.
Yeah, definition?
Chapter 19.
Okay. Okay, cool. Thanks.
So again, that's why we didn't want to do a piecemeal.
Okay.
That's okay.
Good.
Fine.
Okay. The second item has to do with amending the Code of Ordinances in a number of different areas, Chapter 19 also. A little bit of history on this one is that several months ago we had First Baptist Church come to us with a proposal. They have an accessory building related to the church, and they wanted to be able to use that to bring in youth groups for short periods of time and so forth. But it didn't really fit within what the existing definition or permissible uses for accessory buildings for churches. So in the process of trying to accommodate and think about how to address this, a number of different issues came up. Basically, four different issues came up that we tried to resolve through the series of proposals that we have here right now. The first is that we didn't want to do what is called spot zoning. There are rules against spot zoning, so we just couldn't change the zoning code for one particular zone or for one particular church. So this is why, for example, you see all the changes. There are six different zoning categories that allow churches, residential, so we needed to make changes for all of these to get away from the spot zoning. The other thing is we realized after a couple months of discussion that the definition of accessory building really didn't fit this. We tend to think of accessory buildings as being tool sheds and these type of things. This really is a much larger type of building that they have, that they also use for Sunday schools and things like that. So when you look at the proposal, we have come up with a new definition, which is a church annex, essentially, which addresses this type of a building versus what we were calling an accessory building. The third issue is that the churches are in residential zones, and we were concerned about some uses related to such a annex that may not fit within a residential zoning or what we really fit within the general plan for the town of Kerry Beach. So we do have some limitations related to this. In particular, we wanted to make sure that this wasn't going to be used for like transient homeless shelters, drug rehab shelters, and these sort of things. So again, that didn't really fit within the general plan for these particular areas, nor the residential characteristics. And so we have some additions related to definitions in Chapter 19, Article 1, related to these type of things. And then finally, is that when we went through this, we realized that the code refers to churches and not other religious institutions. And so we felt that we really needed to have a more diversified definition of this. So we have changed it to religious institutions rather than simply churches. And so with that, and there's also language in terms of not a profit-making. One of the concerns we had is we didn't want this to become simply a profit-making hotel type of thing. Mm-hmm. And so we have concerns related to that, related to that they could accept donations to cover the cost. We use the definition of 501c3, which is a nonprofit definition, to kind of define what those costs would be and so forth. So anyway, I believe by these set of recommendations that we have accommodated what I think First Baptist Church was interested in, but also steered away from any sort of concern regarding spot zoning and allow accommodation for other churches that may want to have these sort of things, and also move to the definition of a church annex versus accessory building right here. We do also have the P&Z attorney, Mr. Eldridge, here that can answer any of the more technical questions.
I read through the documents. I thought P&Z did a great job. The terminology, I think you took care of a lot of questions. I do have one question for you, and I think I know the answer, but this does not preclude them from having somebody like AA have a meeting there once a month or once a week.
This only has
to deal with residing there for a period of time.
Right, and we have some limits in terms of what we mean by short term.
Okay.
By calling it an annex, we do allow these sort of things. If you call it an accessory building, then there are some limitations on even the sort of things that you described. So calling it an annex would allow Sunday schools and AA meetings and these type of things. So what we're concerned about is any sort of long-term type of characteristic that really wouldn't fit into the residential zoning that these churches are within.
I have no questions. I thought it was well done. Does the council have any questions?
No, I think they did a
great job. No. Did y'all get into a discussion of what the word religious means?
In the sense that we used it to broaden the scope away from church, which has a Christian connotation. And if you look at the definition...
Would this apply to a group that calls himself a coven?
it's possible they have a 501c, whatever that terminology is.
I thought the Satanists met on the back of Davis Drive.
No, the government says they are
trying to find
them. Yeah, we were sensitive to the issues. We didn't quite get as specific as which is coming, but we were sensitive to the issues that obviously when you have a religious institution, we were concerned about it just limited to church. I think that would create a lot of problems. Mm-hmm. We wanted to call it religious institutions, recognizing that that broadens the definition and the folks that may come in with the 501c3.
We also wanted to be very careful of restrictive or prohibited language so as to avoid any issues under the Constitution.
Right.
Very good.
Good job.
Nice job.
Again, this would also require a public hearing, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep, we'll set that up. If there's no questions for nothing.
Okay.
Craig, thank you. Attorney Eldridge, thank you.
Thank you.
And P&Z team, Bill.
Appreciate the
any others?
Team
thank
effort.
You.
Yep.
So I believe we should probably set time to set up a public hearing.
I make a motion at 5:30 before our December meeting, but I don't remember the date because we're going to move it to 6, right?
Probably, right?
But we're going to talk about it anyway. So I say 5:30. I make a motion for 5:30. What? I don't know what. What's the December meeting?
December meeting is when?
The
18th.
Yeah, December the 18th. Where are we going to move it? Make a motion we do it December the 18th.
Do I have a second?
At
5:30. Do I have a second?
Second.
So we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
I seconded. Thank you.
Alan did. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay.
But speaking of P&Z and having the public hearing, there was an announcement went out that there's a P&Z member left, the alternate took that position, and now we need to find a new alternate.
Yeah.
Nancy has all that. She's going to, we'll swear in this
video.
It's part of the consent agenda as to moving up.
Yeah, we approved them advertising.
Yeah.
Right. But are we ready to set a date to us to interview that person? Or those people.
Oh, that's a very good point, John. Thank you. As the ex-chairman, you would remember that, yes.
We're going to advertise first.
You've already appointed someone to the alternate position. By your code of ordinances, the alternate position automatically takes the position of whoever resigns.
Right.
So when you advertise again, now you also changed your policy that P&Z will interview
yes.
any applicants and make a recommendation to council. So
correct.
We have
that's
to advertise
right.
first before...
So we're not ready to set.
No.
So we probably wouldn't hear anything probably January earliest because they would have to interview before they recommend to us who it should be.
Yep.
So.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
As the clerk who has to legally advertise this, I don't know enough about this matter. By law, you have to tell the public what it is that's changing and how it's going to impact them. If somebody could give me some language for this advertisement, I would appreciate it.
We'll let... Mr. Whitley, who's the planning and zoning liaison, make sure that you have whatever you need.
And when do you need it by so that you
say mail soon because it takes a good 3-week time period to meet the
okay.
newspapers and meet the
okay.
all requirements.
Mr. Eldridge, can you help me with that?
Yes, but did you advertise for the alternate previously?
Talking about for the alternate? I think she's taking the changes.
She's talking about the
we're
changes
have the public hearing
for the public hearing.
Changes. You mean
the
you need
proposed
a,
amendment.
You need some proposed text for the notice of hearing for the
yes.
chapter
yes.
and amendment. Yes.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Anything else, Nancy? Okay. Downtown committee reports. We don't have any representatives here this evening for that. Shoreline Access and Beach Protection Committee. Any input, Dennis?
Nothing new, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
Well, just on that, do we know funding for fixing the outfalls and when we're going to schedule that? Or are you going to wait and do that with the beach renourishment since it's coming up? Just
the last meeting that we have, we were
couldn't decide if we're going to wait on beach renourishment or not.
Okay.
I do have quotes to get it done.
I mean,
actually, it will be a part of beach nourishment according to the Army Corps of Engineers.
That's what I figured.
There's money in there for the piping, outfall piping, but that won't happen until after they finish nourishment.
Okay.
And it's fine. The money in there for the outfall piping is for the beach portion that will be renourished. If we have an outfall pipe that is not in a renourished area, that is going to be a different responsibility, probably a FEMA action.
Yeah, but there's also some questions until they do that. The contractor does their survey of exactly where that line will be.
Yeah,
right. So, well, the reason I was asking is, should we direct Public Works to get the pipes that are up on the berm off or keep them there? I'm just asking because I walked this weekend and I was like,
there's a pile of
I know why we're leaving them there because I don't want Jimmy to do double work, but I want council to think about it. I don't know the right answer. That's why I'm asking at council. Because you guys have been going to the beach renourishment meetings. There's probably five or six pipes all the way down, up and down, and they're pushed up onto the berm. They're not really hurting anything. I'm sure the people walking down the beach don't like them, but they're not hurting anything. But if they're going to go back, we should put them back, and if they're not, we should get them off. But I don't know. I don't know enough to know.
Yeah.
That's a good point. There are a couple that are close enough to the waterline, high tide mark, that they could
wander down. I know. Mm-hmm. And then there were a bunch of tires this weekend that I guess came from somewhere else. They didn't come from us, but there were tires and stuff.
A lot of wood, too, from the structures.
Yeah. Jimmy, what would it take to move them? Our equipment and our men,
yes,
right?
Sir. Yeah.
That's what it takes.
We can do it. It's just... Yeah. I don't want to waste the effort if they're going to tell us we need them. So that's why I was interested.
And I don't really truly say what
I understand.
That is right now.
I mean, they're not a safety hazard. They're not hurting anything. They just don't look as good as we'd like it to look. But there's lots of places to look a lot worse, so it's not a huge issue.
They can sit there for months, though.
Yeah, it seems like it'd be best to pick them up. Yeah, Davis Road, somewhere off to the side.
That's what I was asking, right?
So we haven't made... a beach sweep yet, but we've been swamped.
No,
we're
getting there.
Yeah, exactly.
In December, probably. Yeah. Yeah.
At this point, Jimmy took the FEMA representative around for all the site inspections for those, so they have everything that they need.
Okay, good. That was the other thing. They've got everything they need. So we don't have to take pictures or anything. We can just pick it up. Okay.
Right.
If you can schedule out in the next month or two, Jimmy, when it fits in with the rest of your work.
Does FEMA pay for all the sign replacements?
They will. We just have to go. I spoke to the person today. She was actually here, so we may have a different approach for the signs. Originally, she said we had to get GPS coordinates for every missing sign.
Wow, nice. Okay.
You mean where they were or where they are?
You're going to be busy.
So there's a different approach.
Good thing with the computer.
So, I have to talk to Jimmy about that, actually. So.
Okay.
I'm going to bring this over now. Actually, when I was in California, I met a company that droned and GPSed every inch of Wrightsville Beach's beach for beach renourishment and to see how it eroded. I sent that out to y'all if y'all read it.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
And they can track it. Do it 6 months, yearly, whatever you want to do.
Okay.
So is that consensus that Public Works will pick up the broken outfalls and off the beach?
Yes.
Yes. When he can fit it in the next few months. When it fits the schedule. Hopefully, we don't have any other problems. Okay, sorry to interrupt, sir.
No, it's quite all right. Actually, a good question and good idea to have Jimmy take care of it. Keep the town beautiful. Okay. Department head business, administration, Nancy. Nothing. Building department, John. Okay. Finance department, Arlen, I think we've had enough, huh?
Yeah,
okay.
I've had enough.
All right.
Till next time.
Fire department, Ed?
Nothing, sir.
It was a busy month, I saw. Police department, no. Mike?
No, sir.
All right. Public works department, Jimmy?
Nothing to mind.
All right. Recreation?
Yes.
Yes, I think you have something to talk about. Come on, Nikki.
In your packet, you have the proposed dates for the Oceanfront Park summer programs, and I welcome discussion if there's any concerns about the dates. They do mirror the last five summers at dates we've worked with in these that wouldn't extend beyond. But if there's no concerns with that schedule, then we would have a motion to just approve it as is.
So as every year I ask, Labor Day, Memorial Day, so one of them falls on Labor Day this year.
Right.
Police chief and fire chief, how painful is that? I ask every year because it seems to get more and more painful.
Sunday.
It's Sunday of Labor Day, right? We've skipped periodically, right?
We
the holiday?
We skipped 4th of July, whatever activity lands on that.
Yeah.
Sunday of Labor Day weekend, we have had concerts. We try to book like a local, not... that doesn't have
right.
the same draw, but we can easily skip it if it
is becoming. I lean either way, that's why I'm asking you two guys, because y'all have to deal with it. I stay in my house and hide.
We're fairly short staffed on the beach, so if we can do anything to get people off the beach, then that helps the lifeguard, but as far as fire is concerned, nothing.
We have any problems as long as it's been a local group that doesn't draw a big crowd.
Okay.
We've been pretty good, so.
So you'll try to solve. Soft Labor Day. Okay.
Yep. So you guys are okay with it?
Okay.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
Make a motion to approve the dates as presented.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and second. Any comments or all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
Thank you.
You bet,
Thank
Nikki.
You.
Discussion and consideration of old business. Parking update, Mr. Whitley.
We had two public information sessions a couple weeks ago on a Monday evening and a Saturday morning. Very lively debates. Well, sometimes it was not a debate, sometimes it was a monologue. Craig did a phenomenal job, which I sent out, and I'll say it for the public.
Thanks.
Craig is the mayor this town needed. Nobody from the south side of town was present. It was all the north side of town, because I made a point to ask both times to get a feel for where people were. And the overwhelming consensus was all the things that we had in these lovely things that Nancy put together for us was grossly unpopular.
Even as residential? Even with a residential sticker?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They
just don't want any parking anywhere because they're not parking on the streets, which is being
correct.
Allowed right now.
The
right?
only thing that really had approval was IE and 6.
Which were already passed.
Which
okay.
would not affect any of them. You know, there was some pushback initially when we said that no parking in the neighborhoods. Suddenly everybody loves that. So that argument fell away.
How was it happening?
There were approximately 90 folks in combination, 85 to 90 folks. None of them were. We did discuss the request of some neighbors to have places to park for parties. That places, frankly, those 90 didn't really have a feeling for that or care too much about it.
Even the parking lots on Sandman and around the water tower, they did not want that. They go there to walk their dogs. You know.
They were concerned about neighborhoods. Children playing in those particular areas, even though we did mention that there are children on on 6th and same areas. But I think overwhelmingly the individuals who live in that area, they want to manage parking some other way. They do not want parking in the neighborhood, even if it's residents only. So I believe we will probably come up with the final resolution and put it out for a public hearing. But it will not include the neighborhood parking, at least at this point in time.
So how's parking in the neighborhoods now, Mike?
We still
chief,
get
I should call
still
you chief.
Get good.
So are you still getting warnings, or are they getting paid tickets now?
Still 33 tickets?
No. I don't think so.
Yeah.
I haven't looked in a while. It just depends. If we see them out, we might warn them. If they've been there for a long time, we'll write them a ticket. So
okay.
We haven't written a bunch in the past month or so, but.
So where are the initial flurry of people that were like, where are they parking the cars that have 5 cars at their houses in the village and stuff like that? Does anyone know or?
Well,
they're somewhere, right?
Well, there were 4 or 5 individuals by name who did come forward, and some spoke here, but none of them came to either one of those meetings to defend that position.
Hmm. So, but they're not parking
on the
street.
They found places to park in their own driveways.
Right.
Maybe they clean out their garage.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm just interested more than anything else, right?
I mean, frankly, it may come to the point where you can park in front of...
They did clean their garage out.
They cleaned it out. Jimmy knows.
Frankly, it may come down to they can park in front of their own driveways with their...
Well, so
when
that's
they
the
have,
question.
You know, visitor plumbing or stuff like that.
Are they letting... So... Are the homeowners association enforcing what they said they would of not letting them park on the right of way?
Absolutely.
It must be.
Well,
that's what I'm just interested.
They're not
just
even
for
enforcing it with punching a hole in the tire.
Yeah, yeah.
That's next.
They put a letter out.
Oh, okay, but they're not really enforcing it. So some people are parking in there.
They've got no way to enforce it except call the chief and his people.
The chief won't do anything. We said it was okay to park on the right of way. So. Right. If they're off the pavement, I'm talking about parking in the yard. That
I'm talking about
multiple homeowners associations sent letters to their citizens or their residents saying they could not park in the area that the council said was allowed, which is fine. That's why you're in a homeowners association.
I was thinking the last 2 days as you go around our pool, there are 3 cars parked on the road.
Right.
Not on the grass, on the road.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see... The HOA put stickers on the window or
or a little orange thing that says you don't belong here.
Well, that one they can just call 911.
Right.
So, but so that's that's kind of where parking is. So a lot of effort, and
really
I think we're going
to have anything else to discuss with parking other than IE and SITS, do we? I mean, we're not going to make we're not going to make any more ordinance changes though.
We're going to direct the police chief to start. Enforcing parking on
that's what
the
I was gonna
pavement.
Say. Next summer is going to be more enforcement.
That's right. Well, yes. I think that's more the issue is we have now it becomes a communication issue of, okay, you're going to get a ticket. If this 4th of July weekend, the police chief and the police officers alone should not be nice. It's like if you're parked in the road, you get a ticket.
Well,
5 minutes
or 5 hours.
This has
been discussed
for
a year, so nobody can say they don't
know. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's a communication issue, and we have to communicate it very strongly. Otherwise, his guys take the brunt of it, right? So the police department takes the brunt. Council's got to make sure that we over-communicate that if you park on pavement that's not marked, you're getting a ticket in the summertime.
How do we get that word to all the visitors we have during the July 4th weekend?
Well, we will have
to... I think we tell all the renters that you need to make sure your visitors know and then tell the businesses and put signs up or something.
Well, there's people did not want signs either. Because we brought that up in both meetings that if we restrict parking, you're going to have parking allowed and no parking signs, which will make things look...
Well, I think maybe the... Well, so the visitors will go to the hearing officer. Maybe we can tell the hearing officer to... I wouldn't tell them to be nice. It's like, hey, that makes sense. You know, maybe at each entry, parking only in marked parking spaces on pavement. And then that's the whole sign. I wouldn't put signs all over the place.
No. Nobody wanted that. We covered that.
At least in those meetings, we were quite clear that you will park in marked parking only.
Right.
Yeah. Period. And otherwise, it's up to the discretion of the police force.
Well, I just don't want to put them in that.
No, I know that. The only point.
I think council's direction needs to be very clear on what we would like the police department to do, and then we have to communicate that position very effectively throughout the spring, throughout the winter and spring, so that when people start whining about it, we can show them, hey, every month you heard about this, you know, and it's on our website, it pops up. We can send out to our nice distribution list that added 600 people during the storm and tell them, if you park on pavement and you walk away from your car and the police see it, you're getting a ticket. And I'm
not sure we've eliminated.
We have not done that yet.
No. We haven't eliminated maybe every potential option, but we definitely have to tell them what they can do and what they cannot do.
Yeah.
I agree with that, and we will communicate it. I will probably send it out as a note reminding them probably in the February, March time frame to prepare.
I think it,
Now, one thing with IE and 6, someone mentioned to me, you want to line that or you want to bumper that?
I think we want to just bumper it.
We're going to bumper it.
But that would be more time weed eating and maintenance around it.
Well,
I asked Jimmy what he would prefer, and he said lining might be easier.
I ain't going to line it.
You're talking about like football lines?
Yeah.
Like then
you got to do it all the time, right? Grass grows.
Either way, it's going to be work, which is going to be easiest for Jimmy to do.
Well, from a maintenance?
I think we've got time to talk about it a little bit.
Yeah. We don't have to solve it here. This was an update, so
Jimmy, you might want to look at creative thoughts on that and give us your... Take some time and look at what options you might have to help you out. There might be some good option. I don't know what it is.
So,
good luck.
No path forward for parking. No more meetings, no public hearing, nothing else we need
to do. It is a path forward.
We codified,
you guys did a lot of good work. You codified that you can park in the right of way in the southern part of town, which is what's been historic. So now it's actually written down aloud. You gave the opportunity for a homeowner to get people that park in front of their house out of the way because of how we wrote that. Mm-hmm. So they can actually call the police and get help now. Before, they could not. If someone parked in front of someone's house in the right of way, there was no real way to get that addressed. It hasn't came up very often, but when it comes up, our police basically had to like encourage the person to leave. You could not tow it off. Now we can tow it off.
Yeah.
So that's one good thing. You brought up the issue of, okay, cars are not going to be parking in all these homeowners association blocking emergency vehicles. That's a huge thing. I've driven the fire truck through there. Ed can tell you that's a huge thing. With all the ambulance calls we go in those in the homeowners associations, having cars, if they block that, can slow down response to someone's emergency. So that's a huge thing as well. And then the citizens weighed in. Don't think you didn't do anything.
No, I didn't say we didn't do anything, but we have no need for any public hearings or meetings, nothing going forward. We don't need to get the band back together and have another parking committee meetings.
No, we just got to communicate. Council guys still
stuff.
Right.
Yep. That's what I want to clarify.
So.
Okay. So it looks like we're not making any ordinances. We will talk at the January meeting on how to communicate how parking will be enforced in the upcoming season. Yeah.
So there's no decision about bumpers or anything on EI or 6?
No. Oh, we are. Jimmy, we're going to give Jimmy time to tell us what he thinks is the best thing for his manpower issues.
Though I would think bumpers are preferred.
Yeah, well, you are putting parking on EI and 6.
Yes.
That's been delayed because of the storm.
Or are you making a decision tonight, or are you going to talk
about it? No, we are doing that. You all support that?
Yes, I do. Absolutely. I do. Yeah. It's already there.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's going to be done in a more manageable way. So, and we're actually, we did have discussion, and we still have the places in front of the public access points in front of Ocean Dunes.
Correct.
Yeah, that's
so we will
thing.
Be doing those as well.
Like that, that you're going to limit how big it is instead of the whole area. So
that's going to be limited.
Too, see? I mean, Ocean Dunes, sorry. Not Pelican, it's Ocean Dunes, sorry.
So that will be limited.
Yeah, so I think we just got to pass all that, right? Because that's not... So I think we have to have a public... We still have to have a public hearing.
To pass it, yeah.
Yeah.
We don't.
Or do we, or we don't?
I think we need to.
We don't need one. Just do it.
That's what I'm trying to find out. Are you? Because I thought you said...
Bumper it and we're done. I think parking's...
Okay.
Table.
So, what kind of sign? Well, then we need to work with Ocean Dunes on what kind of signs go down there. Because right now, people park all the way down all the grass area, and we're saying we're limiting it to 50 feet from the access, right, or something like that.
50 feet each side of the public access.
So,
and it'll only be on two of the areas because the area has water infrastructure.
Right.
So it'll only be on two of the access points, and then we do have our own town parking lot right down there as well.
Yeah.
It's never cool.
But it will be full now.
Yeah, probably.
Nice.
Yeah, it'll be full now.
Well, so is all that in writing and we've approved it somewhere for what we just said? The 50 foot?
We haven't put a motion on the council.
He wrote it down.
Well, we haven't put a motion to the council, and we've had consensus on it, but I think we need to have a motion put together on precisely what we're doing.
Right.
Well, you and I can write that.
And you don't think
bring
we need
it
a
here.
Public hearing for that?
Andy's... Maybe we can ask Andy when he comes back.
Or we can ask...
Or Jim.
You're not a... Everything you need is in the recent codification. So if you're not going to tweak those Chapter 19 provisions from a purely procedural standpoint regarding amending the zoning regulations, if you're not going to tinker with that, no, you don't need a public hearing. if you want to do it for policy reasons or for some other...
Well, I think eliminating common parking areas, which is what we're doing at Ocean Dunes specifically, I think for council, I would do one in January. But if it's not required, I don't care. But I just think that we should give people a chance to say, oh, you're ruining my life from getting to go
with what people from
fish. Whoever, right? I don't know who parks down there. Maybe someone in the village that likes Ocean Dunes better because there's no lifeguards. Or because it looks nice down there. I don't know.
Any other feedback on that point?
I'm okay if we don't, but I'm just, that's my thought.
Do you have an opinion on this, Alan?
No, I thought we were going to move forward. Y'all will write it and come back.
All right.
Cool. Okay, there
John.
You go.
John?
No, I'm happy.
There you go. Okay. Nice. Fine.
Well, all right, one thing that has troubled me is we've mentioned IE and 6 forever, and we've never had anybody from 6th Street show up in these meetings, because I'm sure there's somebody on 6th Street's going to have an opinion about suddenly there's 70 more parking spaces on that street.
So are you arguing for a public hearing or against a public hearing?
I'm just saying.
That's my point.
I know, but, you know, nobody's ever showed up, and that's going to be a surprise. We either have to communicate it really well, or we need one more info session, and we need to make sure that those people are aware.
I can only speak for two citizens on 6th Street, and both of them are going to say, you guys are wasting money putting bumpers out here. Just leave it like it is, and people will park just like they do with the church. That's what they're going to say. Punky Curry's going to come out when Jimmy's putting them in. What are you doing? I'm putting in bumpers for parking. Why are you doing that? Because council told me to. Those dumbasses. That's exactly what he's going to say. Maybe he'll say it nicer than that. I apologize for the tape, but.
Okay, so we've had enough discussion on this. Nancy, what we're going to do is Joe and I are going to write out precisely what we have come up with. We are going to bring that to this council, and they will tell us if they approve that specifically. And then we will implement it with communications, but we will not have a public hearing. Because we've had two, and we've had it mentioned at 5 council meetings, and we've had a year's worth of public meetings, and we've spent significant money with our with the P&Z to get this thing written properly. I believe we are finished.
Nice.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
No problem. All right, moving on. Town facility construction update. Al.
Okay, we have a contract from the landscape installer, Freeman Landscape, the amount of $15,905. Y'all seen the contract, you've seen the plan. We just need a formal approval of that by council. So I'll make a motion that we accept the contract in the amount of $15,509, and that will be funded from the project contingency budget.
Second.
Okay, we have any discussion?
Looks good.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Right. You got it, Alan.
Next thing is the landscape maintenance contract. Because of the size of it and the everything that we've discussed up to this point, that we feel like we want a professional landscape service to look after the project. You have a contract in front of you for $1,810. That's from January of 2019 and through the end of the year. One half will be paid this budget year and one half next budget year out of the Public Works General Fund budget. And this will be all the details are in the contract that was sent out on the number of times they come, what are the costs and everything. So that's in your budget.
The that is strictly for the new complex.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
And I'll make a motion to accept that.
So did Jimmy look at it yet? Just asking.
No.
I mean, since he's going to have to, I'm assuming if it's out of Public Works, he has to monitor the contract, right? You're not going to monitor it, I assume, right?
We haven't discussed that at all. I'll be more glad to discuss it with you. But
I'm fine with the contract.
Yeah,
but
that was going to happen because we haven't talked about any of the other maintenance.
That's exactly right.
Issues down there. So
yeah, and so just so I'm fine with this one, but I think moving forward, we probably need to talk about a strategy on landscaping for there and the community center and the oceanfront park all together.
Yes.
Because you get a better discount if you do it all together.
And I have that plan for next budget.
Okay, good. Okay.
And it is less expensive than hiring a full-time individual.
Oh, no, no. I think it's, this is one of the perfect things
the right
to contract
thing to
out.
Do.
That's right.
Yes,
exactly
right thing to do.
Repetitive.
So
I made a motion.
We had a motion. Did I have
a second? I'll
second. Motion and a second. Any other comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Got it, Alan.
Nancy, can you just forward that to Jimmy?
Sir.
You have anything to say?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
That's a little else grass he has
the department's
to cut.
Get all
that's good for Jimmy. Yeah, that's
right.
Good for Jimmy. Yeah. Less silver dollar weed he has to pull out.
Mr. Mayor, if I could, the tentative move-in date is December 18th for the fire department.
Nice.
Into the new building, then they'll start renovating the fire department for the police department with the rest of it following closely thereafter into January. So we're getting there. They're putting down flooring today, and the fire department, the last of the pervious concrete will go down tomorrow and some other things. So, and they've relaxed the hard hat rules. So if anybody would like to go by, you don't feel like you have to have a hard hat on to be on site, just make sure you go by and see the superintendent and identify yourself so they know you're on site. And Ed, I need to get with you maybe one day and talk about a few things.
Okay.
Great job, Alan. Good job, sir.
Yep. Request from P&Z for direction regarding overlay district for the business district. Mr. Whitley, did you have anything to mention there?
Well, P&Z is going to take this topic up in their December meeting, start the process, and they were looking for direction from council on how we wanted to proceed forward. How wide of an area. They're going to do the overlay of the B1 as opposed to tightening the B1. Any thoughts anybody up here had on that process?
I still have a few thoughts on that process, and I don't know if the other folks do, but in all honesty, I don't think I'm ready at this point in time, Craig, to say start the overlay process. I would like some time spent discussing this. I think council should determine what type of study we should do to make sure we're on the right path, in particular for this particular activity. I am concerned. I think that area is necessary for the character of this town and how to defend it. And I think if we can point a direction, then we can talk about things that P&Z might do to specifically set that direction. So I would ask you not to stand down, but don't get into to any type of detail. Ideas. Ideas would be great. You have any inputs from any of the rest of you?
Yeah, I agree totally, Mr. Mayor. I think it's something we need to look at. We need to define the character of how we're going to keep our central business area. There's a lot of potential. There's a lot of potential headaches down there. And we got to make sure we do it the right way. I'm not in any mood. I'm not saying I'm opposed to this, but I want to make sure we do it the right way when we do it. So how we do it, how we look at it, how it goes, needs to be taken care of.
And I believe
car is
a
blue Honda.
Blue Honda.
Tommy? Nice. Snuck a blue Honda here and then
hopefully
the battery will die. Nice.
Okay. The only other thing that I guess I would add to that is we, as a council, we need to determine how we engage with the business owners. Their input is critical as well. Yes, Craig.
Yeah, if I could suggest, again, having a fair amount of experience doing overlay districts, not only for here with the K Avenue, but also many other cities, the way that I might propose that the council targets or ask P&Z to do this is if you want us to do this, just kind of a general thing, do you consider an overlay as an appropriate method to kind of address this particular issue? The other is that if you have kind of an image of what you would like to see the downtown look like, okay,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think we're fairly sensitive to all the issues. You know, certainly when you do an overlay district, the P&Z would have public hearings regarding this. We would reach out to the business community. We do a lot of the sort of things that I think you're talking about in terms of the concerns that you have. You know, again, it's the sort of thing that would not happen in 1 month or 2 months. I mean, this is about probably a 6 to 7 month type of effort.
And we won't, just like parking, we're not going to get it right immediately, I can tell you that.
I think what we'd be looking for is just kind of two things. One, does it make sense to try to preserve at least some sort of a feel for what the downtown looks like? And if you have an idea about what that feel might be, then maybe turn it over to the P&Z to start looking at that and start holding the public hearings, to start looking at the options that are out there, the mechanisms that are in place to try to preserve the sort of things that perhaps the council wants us to do. Mm-hmm. I think we have the talent to be able to do this in a very conscientious way and so forth, as long as we have that, what that vision looks like.
Okay, I would, yes, Jim.
Two other points. You hear overlay district and you might think complexity and comprehension, but it doesn't have to be like that. It can be as simple or as detailed as you need. It could be 2 pages, it could be 50. But the main point is this: if it's your goal to protect something down there, until you do it, you don't have that protection.
Right. Jim, a question I'd have for you, isn't that a quasi-judicial type arrangement if we go to overlay districts?
It's a Chapter 19 text amendment to your zoning regulations and to your zoning map, pure and simple.
Well, special permit, special use permit.
Well, if that's part of your overlay to require proposed uses to be approved under a special use permit, yeah, that is a quasi-judicial procedure, that permit itself.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing that in Belleville, for example. We've got a park that we're setting a Riverwalk Park overlay district, and so we've done height and facade and siding and where it goes, but in order to get the kind of commercial facilities we want in there, we've made it a special use permit process, which is not that big a deal, I don't think.
Okay.
I don't remember who does your SUPs, if you all do, or your Board of Adjustment.
Council.
So.
But I really do caution you. I'll give you, I'm not going to name the town. It kicked around a tree ordinance for years. It always came up in an election cycle. They always put it off. Then years later, they approved the subdivision, and there were a lot of beautiful live oaks in there, and the developer just clear-cut it, and he was only out about $1,000 because they didn't take time to do the protection. So if you want something down there, I would really encourage you to give P&Z some direction so we can get those wheels turning, because you're at risk otherwise.
All right, we have some work to do, I think, before I turn you loose, but at least get. I'd like you to develop your thoughts. I'm certainly developing mine. The quasi-judicial stuff is bothersome to me. For the doors that it opens.
But that's special use permit if we go that route. The overlay would not be that.
Yeah, you don't have
to. Right. You don't have to. It's the, you know, again, what I like to think about the P&Z is that we look at the P part of it, which is planning, mm-hmm. and we're always concerned about the worst case scenario. You know, that's really what we try to plan for. And a lot of what you think you see coming out of the P&Z, I think, has to do with kind of planning and looking at possibly as you start to see trends. One of the trends, and when you look at what's currently allowed in the B1 district, I would suggest that you kind of maybe look at the worst case scenario, what could happen without any sort of protection, and those are kind of the type of things that we want to start addressing right now and get the wheels moving on. So, you know, I mean, right now there's a lot of things that could be allowed there that may not be in the direction that I think the council wants the downtown to look like. Okay. And I think starting the wheels and thinking about those sort of things is something that we can start doing.
You had them all quite well listed in the documentation that we saw today.
Right.
So
there's a number of things that could happen downtown at the snap of a finger that you may not want to happen, which would completely alter what the downtown looks like with simply one instance happening downtown. So again, this starts the process going before it's too late.
Okay. Are you meeting in December or not?
Yes, we are.
You are meeting in December.
But so your thought is the overlay would eliminate all these, right? Of your things that are bad, right? So the business going and someone putting a large house there was one of the issues, right? Which has already happened to multiple motels, right? Our business district has already shrank, right? One large oceanfront motel, the town ended up buying and putting a park there. And so basically, with your overlay district, in my mind, what you're doing is you're saying these are things that can't happen here, right? Isn't that what the point, sort of?
You're controlling what will happen, and you could, there's different ways to do it. You could be very detailed in your exterior design elements. You can take a quasi-judicial approach, or like we did tonight, you can really tailor your permitted uses and delineate your prohibited uses, which is not quasi-judicial, that's its own.
Right.
Okay. You know, and houses in the downtown area are one of the issues that have been brought up. We certainly have a formal opinion on that. Mm-hmm. You know, and again, that would not be our
I'm just asking, right? So, I mean,
I would probably use as a better example a McDonald's.
Okay.
You know, let's say a McDonald's were to go down where Jack Mackles is. Okay.
Right.
Right now, that would be permissible. Okay. Do we want to have a McDonald's there? You know, or do you want to create some sort of a feel for the downtown area that has the small village type of feel for the families and all that sort of thing? Now, if that's your direction, then it's our job to come up with the language that would try to preserve that type of, you know, feel. And we haven't. We don't have a predisposition in terms of what that language would be. But if that's what you want us to do, if that's what you want to see for the downtown communities, this kind of maintain a village type of feel, then that would be our job to come up with an appropriate language after doing a lot of investigation, talking to the business owners, talking to the public, and all that sort of thing.
And if I could add, again, we're not predisposed anyway because literally we're just looking for direction. But I want to use that last example as to illustrate something. If your permitted use is restaurants, then it could be any restaurant.
Right.
And they come in and they do the application, they buy the land, boom. But if you, and I'm not pushing for this, I'm just giving you an example.
Right.
If it's quasi-judicial, you can pick the kind of restaurant.
That's right.
You want.
Yep.
Because it has to be harmonious, it has to do this, it has
That's
to
right.
do that.
I understand. Okay.
And then we do have a lot of experience of doing on the PMZ and with Mr. Eldridge, we have a lot of experience doing overlay districts that we feel very comfortable that it would not be onerous at all. It'd be certainly very, very beneficial. The only thing we're looking for is can we start the process and start looking at these types of things.
Okay. Opinion of the council that they start
I'm
the process?
I'm absolutely fine with starting the process. I'm
yeah.
fine with it.
I am too. I mean...
Let's start the process. Let's start
the process. Please make sure the property owners are involved.
Yeah.
And we're going to keep you very, very informed in this whole process because we understand the sensitivity.
Yeah. And we do, I believe we want the village feel. And when you talk to, I'm sure you'll get that input.
Right. Well, we brought it up at the parking meetings to 10 to 12 people, and everybody.
They all said they want it. They want a business area, and they like it to be. Okay.
We will start the process in December, moving very slowly and very cautiously in terms of some of the issues that everybody.
Okay. Okay.
So the other issue is, if you change, just like we did tonight, like you talked about, if you change the B1 district to exactly what you said, so you could do that all with zoning, I assume, but maybe not, maybe you couldn't. Like
very careful.
No change or whatever, right? Okay.
But you have. But you still run into a challenge. How would you, for example, under a purely zoning approach, define the type of restaurant you want?
Okay.
That's the challenge.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay. Good.
Good.
We're good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we appreciate the direction. Thank you.
Well, thank you for getting us over the speed bump.
So that was consensus. Council is directing P&Z?
Yes, consensus for planning and zoning to begin that process. And enlighten us with their crystal ball and wisdom.
P&Z to begin an overlay process in the B1 with no...
We'll bring some text amendments
and,
next week.
You know, with the direction that to maintain a village view.
Yeah.
And to work with the property owners.
And working with the property owners. And we'll see what you can invent for us.
Anything we come up with is certainly a recommendation, Council.
Sure, so, sure. Right. Oh, yeah, we know that whatever happens will end here. So, okay. All right, let's see, where were we? Excuse me. Re-entry process for emergencies, Mr. Oliver.
Okay, last month we put to rest that we wanted stickers on the cars, and we were given the task to come back with a re-entry process. Nancy Arlen and I sat down and talked about this, put together these bullet points, and you have it in your agenda packet.
Yeah.
I won't bore you by reading it to you. But if you'd like to discuss any of them or have any questions, we'll be doing our best to describe it to you.
So, one, I think it's great where y'all landed. Two, I think you need to take credit for taking feedback from the citizens after I got beat up by it. So, so I appreciate you guys listening to us. I guess I don't. But we need to communicate that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think when you send them out, Arlen and Nancy, we need to have a letter with it that says this was in response to feedback from the citizens and what we learned last year. And highlight that after July 31st, when there's a hurricane, you'll get it on the bridge side.
Coming back.
After, coming back.
Yeah, right. And we'll explain all of that.
Yeah.
Probably.
And I'll add it into my hurricane meetings that I've lightly attended. Maybe they should have been better attended.
But we didn't tie ourselves down by stating a place. We will notify. Right. What if Masonburg Commons is not available to
us? Well, that's true. Yeah,
so
yeah.
We've got flexibility there.
Yeah.
And we'll make sure we explain why the stickers aren't available after July 31st.
Oh, that's good.
I think you did a good job. Anybody want to make a comment or a motion?
Yeah, I make a motion to approve the change to the sticker process for the town for 2019. And we'll see how it goes. Hopefully we don't have to use it.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposition? Okay. Thank you all for that committee and their work. I'm sure, as usual, we give you enough feedback to give you a lot to think about. Okay, now we move on to new business. Start time for council meetings. Change from 6:30 to 6 o'clock. Now this, ladies and gentlemen, is my idea for a variety of reasons. One of them is because it would allow our staff to get home a little earlier in the evening, particularly in the winter when it's quite dark. We do have many folks who leave the meeting prior to its ending, probably because we have a tendency to be long-winded. And maybe not as long-winded as others, but we can be long-winded. So the thought was is that we would move that to 6 o'clock. There may be times we may have to change the date and the time of the meeting, but as a general guide, that we would begin at 6. So is there any comment on that?
I make a motion we move council meetings to 6 p.m.
So while we're talking about council meetings,
mm-hmm.
Joe and I both are out-of-towners now a lot more than in the past. Is there any possibility of moving to Mondays? I mean, so I'm trying the best I can to coordinate my schedule, but I already missed last month because it was on a Tuesday. Monday mm-hmm. is a little easier because I'm in Hickory.
Mm-hmm.
So on a Tuesday night meeting, I basically lose Monday and Tuesday of that week. And then I get up at 4 in the morning, Wednesday morning, and drive up to Hickory, so I have Wednesday. Monday night, I don't know if there's other issues. I'm the only fireman on council, and so I miss a fire meeting when I'm here, but right. I'm missing half of them right now anyway.
So your idea would be to Monday
night at 6. But I don't know if staff can support that. I don't know if it's a staff problem or not, because getting ready, maybe they need the extra day online.
What's your opinion?
Sometimes six may be difficult for me if we have an issue and I may not be able to get here by six. So the only thing I, you know, and I may not know that till.
Well, we can open and delay on the nights you do.
Yeah.
I mean, we can open and delay.
Y'all are just trying to get to Jack Mackles before they close.
I know. I am. I can't speak for anyone else.
That's a side benefit, but it isn't the real reason.
You talk a lot.
I do.
That's fine. Yeah, as long as, you know, if I may need 10 extra minutes, 15 minutes just to...
That's okay. We'll
especially
start.
In the summer. The biggest potential issue for me I could see is I get delayed at work in, you know, in July. Yeah. And I'm trying to hustle through. I mean, I know I can speed as soon as I cross into Curry Beach.
Yeah, that might.
Yeah.
Look out for that.
Well, it'll be closer next summer.
Yeah.
It'll be back
that's
up.
True.
But
that's true.
Does Monday night have any issues for the department head?
There's no other... Nothing else we have to do on a Monday. There's nothing...
You're talking about the third Monday as opposed to...
Yeah.
Does Monday work for staff?
Board Association, SLAP.
We've had them on Monday like four or five times this year already.
Yeah, I've already asked. That's why I'm asking to just do it.
Nancy, you're the one who keeps us going here. Does Monday work for you? 6 o'clock work for you? I know, you stay here. I might get you home a half hour earlier.
If the Redskins play football on Monday night, we've got to nip it in the bud.
Well, that game's not till 8:20. You might actually make it.
So,
okay.
I make a motion we move to 6 p.m. Monday, the third Monday of the month.
So is Commissioner Allen withdrawing his motion?
Oh, I don't know.
You had a motion on the floor to change the time from 6:30.
Well,
nobody seconded it.
Yeah, so it disappeared. Doesn't exist. So we have a motion. Do I have a second on
second.
The second motion?
Second.
Okay, we have a second.
I got a question.
Yes.
When are we going to start?
January, I think.
January.
I wouldn't mess it up.
I'll be out of the house. Got to agree with that. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
What time are we going to start public hearings? 2?
Yeah. 5:30, that's when we do it.
Okay. All right, you got all that, Nancy?
Yeah.
Okay, so all in favor?
Effective January.
Right. Okay. All in favor? Okay.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, done.
I'm sorry, who seconded?
Joe did.
Thank you.
The troublemaker.
What?
I'm only kidding, Liam. Yeah. Let's see. Encroachment request on 633 South Fort Fisher. John, can you help us with that?
Property owner?
Yes.
Property owner did send an email.
Property owner sent an email?
Yes.
I find it odd that nobody's here to represent the property owner. This is very similar to other requests that you've received in the past. Along certain lots on the south part of our beach, we have what's called a 10-foot alley on the tax maps that the town owns. So this request is similar to the others in that they would like to utilize that 10-foot alleyway to extend their deck, which surrounds their pool, closer to the ocean. It's not an encroachment on the beach nourishment area. I'm not sure how that got there, but... Anyway, it's no different than the other requests that you've received in the past.
And it's not any deeper into the
berm
than the other places.
No, sir.
Have any of the other ones been 8 feet? They've all been like 4 or 6, haven't they?
You prove them. I don't remember any being 4 or 6.
My memory's not that good. I'll be 50.
Okay. Well, John, you don't have a problem with this as the... officer.
The only hindrance to them being able to do this is the fact that we own that alley.
That we have the alley.
Okay. Otherwise, they would be allowed to extend
okay.
the stick.
Andy, any points?
No problem.
No problem.
I have a question. Are you saying the language in the encroachment is wrong?
I'm saying that the agenda item says that it encroaches in the beach and nourishment area, but it does not.
Which is why I request somebody to tell me. What it's doing.
I got the press the same time you did, and it caught me by surprise. So.
And that was my mistake.
Okay. All right. Any other questions for John? the homeowner's not here, we have two choices. We can either approve that or we can request the homeowner show up and explain.
I just kind of feel these requests are just getting larger.
Well, they're going to keep on until every property has the it. Same thing.
Yeah.
When they can afford it, I think. Well, John would say, John said that the last four times, right?
Yeah, this is about the fifth one, so it's going to be hard to change that direction.
I don't think it's getting deeper.
The line, right?
We have reined in every other one. We have actually reined them in.
And there's a line.
Because they were pools.
If it was not for that 10-foot alley, they could extend the far end.
Right.
And so, there's not a line. There's a line that they can't go past. That you won't let us approve. Yeah. You will not let us approve going past the line, right?
Oh, strongly.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, then we would follow that, right?
Okay.
I make a motion we approve it.
Okay. So I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
So, I mean, everyone sitting on their deck looks down, and that line will eventually close in 20 years.
Yeah.
Based on the economy.
They'll all be next to each other.
It will.
Okay. Flipping around today.
Thank you. Okay.
Naming committee.
Point of order, real quick.
Mayor,
I'd like a chance to reread that document again to make sure that that's not referencing the beach refreshment line. I know that that's not a factor in this approval, but I just want to make sure that that's correct, along with Nancy.
Where I took it from, because I didn't have
to deal. So it could be that. It's the attorney's Ned Barnes out of Carolina Beach, and he's done encroachment agreements in the easement areas and other parts of the town. It could be that he copied and drafted the same thing, and I didn't catch it, but Nancy may have. And so, if you don't mind, I'd like a chance to review that one more time before you sign that agreement.
Okay. It's approved with the proper language and no encroachment, so you let me know when I can sign it.
Okay.
Naming committee. Naming committee has met. I will be sending a note out to the boards, which would be our town committees, to tell them that we are looking at opportunities to name the new fire department. And we are looking for inputs relative to fire department building, And if there are other inputs that folks would have relative to their thoughts on that or thoughts on any other thing. It is not the intention of the naming committee to name every town meeting room, every town building. That is not the intention. This is a brand new structure that we'll be putting into the building, and I think it warrants discussion on that particular point. So I will be putting that out, and I will be looking for feedback. And along with that, we will have both buildings coming online by, you say, January?
End of January.
I would tell council that I would prefer to have one grand opening and not two. So we would do that probably sometime in February or whatever makes sense based on when we actually do get to move records and everything else. So we have a little bit of time, but we'll be going out to the boards, which is defined in our process.
So do we want to do at least an open house in the fire department, since we'll move operations to the fire department in December?
I'm willing to have a discussion on that, as long as it's not.
Well, I'm fine with not doing a grand opening, but otherwise people are going to dribble by, which is fine. The staff's there, but you saw the call volume, so people will come by. It would make it easier for the fire department if you said this is the open house of the fire department this weekend, so Ed can plan it and be there to tell our citizens thank you for the firehouse and show them around and have extra people there. So if something happens, they don't have 15 people wandering around the department and they're trying to get the fire.
But they're going to be wandering around the construction area that's going on next door. There's no longer fence.
We had discussed that at the department head meeting.
Oh, y'all decided
we were open to doing that, but the main concern was safety for people coming in with the construction.
Coming the front way from the docks, if it's going to be an operating firehouse, you got to be able to get into it. if y'all want to discuss it, never mind, I withdraw. You guys are smarter than me. I'll shut up. Sorry.
No problem.
No, it's not that, if I may. It's not that. We're just going to have a lot going on at that time. There's already going to be a lot of pressure to get him out and into the fire station. But then there's going to be continued construction and possibly some moving up into the town hall. And then we've got to stop and do a grand opening.
I wasn't saying a grand opening.
From my staff perspective.
I wasn't saying a grand opening. I was saying an open house, which is just staffed by the fire department. There's a different thing, right? You inform the citizens you can stop by the firehouse. No grand opening, no party, no anything, but this is an open house. An open house at the firehouse means people can stop by and tour around the firehouse, and they can have two firemen that walk them around the firehouse. They're different things, but otherwise, once the firemen move there, people will be stopping by in drips and drabs. And the on-duty staff will have to deal with that for the month it takes. If you tell people they'll come then versus stopping by whenever they feel like it, they're still going to stop by anyway, I think. But
if Ed, think about what you would like to do. Whatever, if you do an open house type thing like that, it would be without the administration team.
Yeah.
Since they'll be quite, they are going to be very busy. If you think you can fit it in your schedule, then you just let us know what you'd like to do. If you want to wait until all the buildings are ready and make it the big splash. If there's any dedication at all, it would occur when we do the...
Exactly right. That's
what we also plan around a Monday night meeting where the construction crews go and it's the evening hours and parking spots are open and stuff.
Right. Well, why don't
you and the fire board mull what you'd like to do with that, if anything. Okay? Yes, Craig.
One question. Being involved with the university where we tend to name everything, every room, every seat mm-hmm. that a student sits in and stuff like that, is the idea of the naming, is that an honorary thing, or are you looking to raise money that would end up in an endowment?
No, this is honorary.
This is honorary, okay.
We do, if you would like to purchase benches and put your name on it, or fish, or we already have an endowment type thing, this would be typically honorary.
This is honorary.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we also discussed, and really needs more development, maybe a Hall of Heroes, because there are some people have done a great, or a Wall of Heroes, over the ages, who have done some pretty special things for this town in dedications, you know, things they've accomplished in their life, their years of service, their years of volunteerism without a paycheck. That's not to put everybody's picture on the wall, but I think we should have a mode, since we don't want to name everything, right? We should probably have a mode to recognize special people. But we're not there yet. We're not there yet. The naming committee, which is a very intelligent group of guys, will tell me if I'm right or wrong on that, because it's a democracy. So, commissioner items. Beach storm damage control.
Reduction.
I'm sorry.
We don't do beach nourishment or re-nourishment.
Yeah,
we do.
You're right.
I should know that. Damage reduction.
Yes. Could you give us a quick update?
Yeah. We have bids, the Army Corps of Engineers, up in bid November 7th. Just for everybody's knowledge, the Corps comes up with a budget amount. They can award 25% over that amount, up over that amount. So we have an apparent low bidder at $17.5 million, and that would be for Curie Beach and Carolina Beach. And that's 637,000 cubic yards of sand for us. The bad part is our sand costs about twice as much as Carolina Beach's sand because they have to pump it so far from the bar area. So we're waiting on the Corps to get contracts approved, and we should see work start somewhere around the first of the year.
Okay. Great news. You're getting some more sand. Now, last but not least, MPO focus. Mr. Ellen, Commissioner Ellen, what do you have for us?
I got a few charts. I'm a member of the Wilmington Area Planning and Organization, MPO. What that group does, there's two pieces to that. The MPO board, which I sit on, and then there's a Citizens Action Committee, which we also have a Curie Beach resident is a member of that. That's John Coughlin. The Citizens Action Committee, predominantly, their task is to look 25 years out in a planning mode for the federal transportation dollars coming into the Tri-County area, Brunswick, Pender, and New Hanover. I'm not going to talk about what those folks do and try to convince you that they are all looking 25 years out, and most of us will not still be living here at that time. You may move on and
anyway. Yeah.
It's great for yourself. I know all of them. I want to talk about some things that are happening in the near future, 2022, 2024, 2026. And that's real near future for this organization. But it's some things that are going to happen. I know folks down at this end of the island, we have this little catchphrase about OTB, over the bridge. Nobody wants to go over the bridge. Part of that has to do with all that traffic up in that part of the world. Well, here are some improvements to the traffic situation that are going to be put on contract in the early 2022-24 time frame. And I'm going to show you a picture of where these are and tell you what they're going to do. A couple of weeks ago at our meeting, we approved an alternative for each one of these areas. And they presented sometimes just two alternatives, sometimes three or four, and the organization did a resolution approving alternative A or B or one or two. And some of the things are like a flyover. Like you're up going up Carolina Beach Road or up by College Road and you come to Oleander. Do you want a flyover? Do you want multiple flyovers? They have a different, forgot the term, but it's on one of the charts. Free-flowing, it's like nobody ever has to stop. They have an intersection design that way, and some other things. So I'm going to tell you what we talked about.
So to drop past all these points
here. These are where this one right down here. That's the Monkey Junction area. This orange is just pretty much improvement to the road, widening the road. This is, the pink is Oleander.
What's the date on Monkey Junction, John?
I have each one of these on a chart.
Okay,
that
all right.
Gets interesting. And further up, this is where the blue is where Martin Luther King joins Highway 40 up there. And so on. Go to the next one.
That's a bummer.
Or I can do that too.
The other way.
Oop.
Here goes my phone. Big button.
Yeah. There you go. There. Okay, that's a repeat.
There it is.
Okay, here's the first one. Where Martin Luther King, even though on the map I was going bottom to top, I'm going to talk about them top to bottom.
Wow.
Or show the pictures. College Road and Martin Luther King.
That's so scary.
As you see, there's the flyover from College Road goes over Martin Luther King. If you wanted to certainly get off and turn as you're coming up College, you get off on this, turn left or right to get onto. But it keeps the flow of College Road moving without what's currently there is that stoplight. This is that Oleander. And you may not think this is much of a change, but it alleviates the left turns at these four corners, at this intersection. And it looks like you would still left turn here. But no, if I'm coming north on College and I want to go west on Oleander, I've got to turn here and come out to get on.
To make a left turn up there.
Or go to the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Or if you live here a long time, you can go around.
That's exactly right.
But that would be the new interchange.
Okay. So you don't make a left turn at the interchange, you make a left turn above the interchange.
That's right.
Everybody will turn at a different spot. Okay.
On Lake Avenue.
Yeah, the other one's sharp.
Right across from Human Tree Park.
This one is scheduled to let the contract in June of 24.
24, okay.
Six years.
Damn, I'm not retired yet. Man, this is going to be a bummer.
Yeah. Probably won't be done till 28.
And this is Monkey Junction.
Oh.
They had one of the alternatives here was a flyover that this left turn would fly over and enter over here. This is called a continuous flow intersection. You install extra set of lights, and there, I won't bore you with it if you really wanted to see this in action. They've got a video that shows how this operates. But it does alleviate a lot of people waiting for other folks to make left-hand turns. You begin your left hand down in here, you come up into this area, totally separate, and these left-hand turn people will have to wait for a lot of flow, and then they sync the lights such that lots of people make left turns at the same time. And this one,
man,
is also June of 24.
AOP International 24. Oh, this is
that's a better one.
This is clearing up some of the traffic jam as you go out to Isabel Holmes Bridge and go across the Cape Fear there. This is called a trumpet interchange. There were several alternatives to this one. One was actually this kind of big roundabout was put on this side of the road instead of this way. But as you're coming Wilmington's down this way, but as you're coming from 40 and you want to go to Wilmington, you get off here and make this loop. The same way if you want to go on toward the battleship, and you're coming out of Wilmington, you'll take this loop on the inside, come around that way. Of course, if you're coming just going headed to 40, you keep going straight, you go to Wilmington and you're going that way. A few of the things that are happening to alleviate some traffic in the relatively near future, thought I would share. We don't need a motion on any of that.
No.
But just some information for you to let you know that.
So those would be proposed start dates in 2024?
Yes, that's what is currently the contract let date.
It'll be a while.
If the completion is 2034?
It'll be a while.
Now, a lot of things.
In the meantime, we will continue to build, more apartment complexes.
A lot of things that go into getting to 2024 is things are already started. Environmental impact for each one of those has to be with the impact to the landowners. They may have to go do
eminent domain
and capture some. In fact, one of the members of the board is also one of the county supervisors, and he's concerned because of the area he lives in. People are already calling him and fussing about some of their property because they got a notice in the mail saying we may need, a few feet. And the people said, well, I own this. Can't take my feet. So that county supervisor's getting involved. They do a cost-benefit analysis, They forecast future growth. So a lot of things are happening now to even be ready for a letter contract in 2024, 2026. I defer to Jack Matt.
Okay. All right, any questions on this point? Any councilmen have anything else to bring up?
We had the MOTSU meeting yesterday.
Oh.
The joint land use plan. We'll have another public hearing or public information session December the 4th, 5 to 7 at Carolina Beach Town Hall. I did submit the request Curry Beach wanted because it had been kind of vague when we could make our demands, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
So that has been ranked in the order that you addressed.
We, not me.
Well, sewage and stormwater was, of course, paramount.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll wait for feedback. I met the new gentleman that's taken over there, Malcolm Charles. The colonel was there. We will have another, I think y'all meet, advisory committee meets in January, and we will have another. And I did state that the public information sessions had been held in Carolina Beach, and that we expect the last one in April to be held at our new town hall.
Nice.
So we'll get to showcase it.
Okay. Is that it? Anything else, gentlemen?
Yes, sir.
We have a motion.
I make adjourn. A motion we adjourn the town council.
A second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you for the Monday night.